God's dominion over the world. How does it look? And he says, like a grain of mustard seed. But it's not about horticulture. This is about something tiny becoming something big. It groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs. The mustard seed is not the greatest herb. Remember, this is a parable. Jesus isn't trying to teach you about mustard seeds. He's saying, and then taking the smallest seed, planting it, and it grows up and becomes the biggest plant. How unusual. And then what do we have? We have these birds that come and lodge in the branches. In the last parable, the parable of the sower, the birds represented the devil. And in this parable, they similarly represent the devil and his ministers, as they did in the previous. They represent the devil and also the servants of the devil. And the servants of the devil have lodged in the branches of the kingdom of God. And you could see it in the Catholic Church, the Catholic priests and all that. They are the servants of the devil, lodged in the kingdom of God. And the growth of the church was unnatural because it was forced by other things. You know, a lot of the conquest of the gospel in Europe was a lot of times a matter of force. That's what Christ ordained. Let's force it down people's throats. That surely does not fit with the picture of the sower. The kingdom of God, this very small idea planted in the earth. But all kinds of men have pressed their way in. And the branches have grown all out of proportion to what it's intended to be. The nature of the mustard seed is not to become this gigantic bush. In Matthew, he called it the greatest of trees. He calls it a great tree. And some people think of this unnatural growth as being like a good thing. Oh, look how big the kingdom of God got. But narrow is the way that leads to life. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. In the kingdom of God, many enter in, as we see in the parable of the sower. It's like a sower goes forth seed. They all receive the seed. I mean, even the path received the seed, landed. The word of God landed on the path. Now, it didn't turn them into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, but they certainly had the seed. They have the word. I could look at all three of those types of ground that rejected the seed and say those are all believers. They're all believers. We have the carnal, worldly believers. We have the seem-to-be growing believers. And we have the absolutely, stunted by tradition. Or basically, tradition just took... Because one of the most impossible places to get the Word of God to grow is in a mind that is hardened by tradition. But God can change anything. Though we may seem, people say, well, is this deterministic? Meaning, you look at how people are and how they receive the word, and that's the way it's going to be. Well, not entirely. Because we don't have God's perspective. Like the Apostle Paul, he fought against the gospel. But then God struck him down and changed the nature of his heart so that he would receive the word. Remember, these are the way we observe things in that case. And also here, this is the way we observe it. We see the church planted, and then it grows in this gigantic thing that it was not intended to be. It grows out of proportion and begins to have these little filthy nests filled with little filthy birds and their filthy little offspring, dropping their filthy little turds all over the branches of the tree. And it's not meant to be saying this is the positive effect of the gospel in the world. It's saying this is the effect on the world has on the gospel of coming in, perverting it, leavening it, and that is the story of history. All those people receive the word, and they all seem to be part of the tree. Remember, not all the parables are equal. They don't all stand together on, it's not like some cohesive thing where it's like, okay, well, the mustard seed is also the word of God. The mustard seed is the idea of the kingdom of God. And the growth is the effect it has on the world. And it grows into something, but into something unnatural. Something that harbors birds and harbors vermin. And that's what it does. I mean, honestly, in a way, you could just see it as neutral. That's what happened. It doesn't mean that the whole thing is in good shape or something like that. Now what do we do? What's the parable for now? Now here we are. We're living in this gigantic tree with many branches. Lutherans, Protestants, Catholics. We got over here, we got the Pentecostals. And over here, we got a sucker off the bottom. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses. And we got another sucker over here, the Mormons. And we've got, you know, these branches and those branches. Where's the truth? Where's the righteousness of God? Where is the gospel in all that mess? Because the seed that was has disappeared. Well, that's the current state. This parable doesn't have a conclusion, except that they all come and lodge under the shadow of it. So he spoke to them with many such parables, and as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he didn't speak unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. Verse 35, and the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? It must have been a very fearful thing. And I got to ask myself this question sometimes. Why am I so afraid? Why am I so afraid? How is it that I have no faith? How could it be? You that understand the parables of Christ, you that understand His Word, and that believe, how come when our lives are threatened, or the lives of the ones we love, we fear? It's human nature. It's not easily overcome. You know, if every time a storm arose, Jesus was there to rebuke the winds, maybe we would change our ways.